Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Ross Tucker, and it's time for Ask Ross. This is where we'll take your questions for Ross. Best question wins the KSN sweatshirt. If you want to submit a question to Ross, really easy. Just download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the nice Ask Ross button there, and fire away. All right, Ross, you ready for your questions?
I am.
Let's start with Tony in Philadelphia. I think Tony is our pizza guy from Philly, Ross,
who just doesn't know what you're supposed to put on a pizza.
It does, does it? All right, let's keep rolling or we'll get sidetracked with food. Tony says, Ross, last week you said you wanted to see more aggressiveness and physicality from the offensive line, but that was more or less an uncoachable trait. You either have it or you don't. What potential 2022 offensive line players for Penn State do you think have that trait?
Oh, well, there's one for sure. And I remember it from his high school video. Do you remember this, Jim?
Go ahead. Which one?
Jimmy Crist. Ooh. Jimmy Crist. Now, I don't know if he'll play. I don't know what they think of him. But his high school highlight video, he brought the nasty. He brought the physicality. I loved his high school video. He just kept getting better every year. Now, he's a little bit stiffer, maybe not as fluid as you would like, but I still loved me some Jimmy Crist and think that he's a guy that absolutely could bring that in 2022 if they actually, you know, gave him a chance, right? Like if he actually got a chance to play. I don't know if he will or not, but if he does, he has that. He definitely has that in him.
All right, let's go to Matt in State College. This is a little off the beaten path kind of question, Ross, but let's see what you have to say. Matt says, I get my suit and tie ideas from guys I see on TV. So I'm curious as to whether sports broadcasters pick their own suit, shirt, and tie combination, or whether you guys have a producer or wardrobe person who selects your outfits.
Awesome, awesome question. And I will say that this is not, or has not been in the past, a strength of mine. So it's an area that I am looking to improve. I am not very fashionable. I don't care about stuff like that. I don't pay attention to it, really. I mean, Jim, you see me every week. I do not dress to impress. I dress for comfort. But, you know, it depends. I'm sure the higher level guys might have some help through the, you know, their networks that they work for. But for the most part, you actually do, it's on the individual. And so you can have your own person you work with. I actually have someone I work with now that is helping me to make sure I'm a little bit more put together, that my style looks a bit better. Now, the thing is, for college games, I work for CBS, which I love because I just wear the blazer every game. I don't have to worry about a suit. I don't have to worry about all. I just put on that CBS blazer, which I love. That makes the fashion a lot easier. But for the most part, guys, you know, have a fashion or consultant that they deal with.
All right. Well, if I get the idea that the wardrobe goes downhill on our podcast, I send Ross a KSN polo to upgrade that wardrobe. So that's how we handle it here.
Nice.
Let's go to Mike in Bradenton, Florida. Mike says, with all the opt-outs in college, I was wondering if playing games is tied to their scholarship. I listen to every episode on KSN and enjoy the perspective from your viewpoint.
So he wants to know if playing in the games is contingent on keeping the scholarship?
Yeah, I think I think he's looking at this almost like it's a contract. You get the scholarship, but in return, you've got to play in our games if you're not injured.
Well, it definitely says in the scholarship contract that you have to fulfill all of your obligations to the team as a scholarship athlete, for sure. But the guys that opt out, first of all, when they opt out for the bowl game, the semester is already paid for, right? In fact, the guys already know when the semester gets paid for. So a lot of times you'll see guys go in the transfer portal the second day of classes, because the first day of classes is when the money gets paid for. And so the semester is paid for as of the first day of classes. So then right after that is when the guys will put in for the portal. So Penn State pays them. They get paid for the whole semester, and they're on campus, but they're in the portal, and they're not playing with Penn State football anymore. But that's how the guys do it. They wait until they get the semester paid for, which is a good question. And even if they could stop paying, they wouldn't, because the opt-out guys are like your best players, and that would just be a really bad look at that point.
Right. I don't think if they would try to punish those players, as you said, it would be a good look. The other thing is, the guys who are opting out because they're heading for the draft, don't they often quit school anyway after that final game, Thanksgiving weekend? Don't they say, all right, my full-time job now is getting ready for the combine. I don't need to be bothered by practice. I got to go work out.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they have a bowl game they're going to play in, they go to those last 2 weeks of classes probably. You know, they go to those last 2 weeks of classes. If they opt out, I don't know. Some of them probably leave right away. Some of them probably finish those last 2 weeks.
All right, let's move on. Let's go to Jim in Syracuse. Jim says, between 1970 and 2006 – that's a 36-year span — the Southeast Conference only won 5 outright football championships. Over the last 16 years, suddenly the Southeast Conference claims 13 of those trophies. Come on, Ross, tell us the truth. What are the Southeast Conference schools doing that the rest of the country won't or can't do? This imbalance from the not-too-distant past just doesn't make sense.
There's several factors in play. Number one is the population in those states is increasing with every year, and it's diminishing with every year in like the Northeast or the Midwest. So with greater population comes better players. Like if you look at the 4- and 5-star players, there's a heavy concentration in the Southeast. There's a lot in Georgia and Florida. There's a decent amount in South Carolina and Alabama. Certainly Louisiana, obviously Texas. There's more good players down there than there are in the Northeast. There just is. So that's number one. And then, while there are kids that go other places, or they, you know, they go nationally, they go somewhere else, for the most part, you're going to have the core of your team is always going to be within driving distance, right? And that's the way it is for Penn State, with kids from Jersey, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Maryland. And that's the way it is for the schools down south. So they benefit from there being greater talent around them. Not only that, but those schools down there, you know, they have spring football. They play like year-round football in high school down there. So I think that helps with their development as well, as opposed to the Northeast or the Midwest. So those are factors. Then I think that money is a big factor. And I think there are two things. I think one is just the commitment to athletics. I had an SEC school, a guy from an SEC school tell me recently, every full-time coach has a designated recruiting coach that works with them. I mean, it's not like that in the Big Ten. Maybe Ohio State, maybe Penn State, maybe Michigan, but not Maryland, not some of the other schools. They don't have – so this school is – I'll just say it was South Carolina. So South Carolina is probably comparable to what in the Big Ten? You know, like Iowa? I don't know. Something like that. Maybe not even. Maybe more like Maryland. Maryland might have four or five guys in the recruiting department. South Carolina has double digits. So there's that type of financial commitment. And then they pay them. They pay the recruits. Like, you know, I don't know how much. I don't know how many of the kids. But I've known for 30 years, 20 years for sure, that that's just kind of the cost of doing business down there in the South. And it's almost surprising that Penn State and some of these other schools, Ohio State, Michigan, that they were able to compete on the same level, because I don't think that they do that as much. Although I wouldn't be shocked if some of that goes on in the Big Ten with some of these schools either. It's just not as prolific and rampant as it is in the SEC.
As the old Southeast Conference saying goes, Ross, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. But we also see now with name, image, and likeness, any of that money that was going to players, you know, under the table, it's now above the table. We saw Texas A&M this past year. They surprised some people by being the number one class for the recruiting class of 22. But their alums pooled their money and came up with about $25 or $30 million in commitments to this recruiting class. So I'm sure that has an influence. All right, let's get another one in. Steve from Chicago says, is Yurch's second season and done if Penn State's offense doesn't improve dramatically in 22? Appears everyone is beating up on Clifford in the O-line and not laying any blame on Yurcich, who is supposed to be the head coach of the offense.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because early in the season, like, you know, the play calling against Auburn or whatever, Jim, I remember thinking, this Yurcich guy's awesome. And I was loving it. But kind of as the season went on, I was less and less impressed. So, I do think it's a big year for him. Although, you know, if you're James Franklin, you don't want to be cycling through these coaches all the time. It's not a good look for who you're hiring.
No, it's not. I think he'll probably get a third year, even if it is disappointing. I think with the promise of, you know, Drew Aller, Nick Singleton, and so on for the final year or the following year. Ross, that's it for quarter number three. Stick around. Quarter number four, we'll name our winner.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hearty souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.